What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
Oi, the boys on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes tales are quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Let's go! Booty, booty, it's time to get this party started. Booty, booty, it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the Footy Footy. It's time to get this party started. It's the Footy Footy. It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Donna, Jenkins, JC. All we know and all we talk about is Footy Footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
Hello there, football fans. Welcome to Footy Prime Match Day 1. It's started. It's begun with a bang. What an absolute instant classic today between Qatar and Ecuador. I'm James Sharman. Jimmy Brennan's here. Craig Forrest. Dan Wong. JC's lurking somewhere as well. It is not often, though, we see great games, is it, to start the World Cup. But any concerns we had about Qatar, Jimmy, as a footballing nation, as far as the team themselves, pretty much backed up, weren't they? That was a pathetic performance.
It was a rotten performance. It was terrible. I mean, if you looked, what they had a couple of chances, just really that came out of nothing. One was a long ball over top. Guy strikes it, just lands on top of the net. Another build-up play where down the line, a great cross goes into the box. And I mean, how he missed that header, and didn't he hit the target with that? I think my youngest Makai might have headed that one home. But overall, I was disappointed with the performance. I didn't think they were played well, considering as well how long that team's been together. They just look so unorganized all over the park, you know. And even the one goal that Ecuador scores, and Valencia's at the back stick, he must have been laughing because he's looking across the line and all he's seeing is numbers because nobody's looking at him. Ball comes in the box, great header into the back of the net. But you just think there'd be a hell of a lot more chemistry within that team and organization than what they actually show, considering how long they've all been together and playing together now.
A lot of pressure on them though, eh, Jimmy?
On Qatar?
Yeah, a lot of pressure. I mean, this is also applies to games coming up, and like, say Canada's watching that game and the players will probably watch it at some point. I think they were training at the same time, but there's a chance, you know, that obviously on the big stage too, you don't know exactly how players are going to perform, especially ones that haven't been anywhere close to that.
No, you're right. And I think, but you know, when you look at it at the end of the day, I think everybody's got pressure. It's how you're going to handle it. And I don't think a lot of their players rose up to the occasion, did they? And I think a lot of their players don't play at a high, high level where they're dealing with pressure week in and week out. One thing that I'm not worried about with our national team, I think everybody can deal with the pressure. Everybody's playing at a good level, big crowds, big games that they're playing for. And I think that makes a massive difference as well.
Mm-hmm. But what's strange though, this team won the Asian Cup in 2019. They had a pretty good Gold Cup as well, where they surprised a lot of people. And like you said, they had like a camp for 6 months or something, but the organization wasn't there. So maybe they bought the Asian Cup. I don't know. There's got to be a reason for it.
There was a lot of different players back then than what there is now, and this is only a couple of years later. Mm. Completely different squad than what we saw, and especially in the Gold Cup, where we were like, hey, that team's not bad, by the way.
I think they all play in domestic football too.
Yeah, all Qatari-based.
I mean, after this World Cup's over, there's one of the eight stadiums going to be left and used.
And that's where I do give Qatar some credit. In previous tournaments, be it soccer or rugby, a smaller host nation with years to prepare, often, how do I put it? They procure talent from outside their boundaries, right? I remember the World Cup of rugby in Japan, 2003? and they were called the Cherry Blacks, the Japanese team, because half of them were ex-All Blacks. And there was this weird kind of rule that allowed them to play. They were really old All Blacks who hadn't played for a few years. Graham Bashop was one of them. So they actually had a pretty good team because there weren't many Japanese players. It was actually a farce, and they changed the rules. But at least Qatari stuck with domestic-based players. But I don't know, do you need the host nation to do something at the World Cup to keep the energy going? I don't know if you saw the stands, that there were people leaving by the droves at about the 55-minute mark.
Well, it's actually the first home nation that has ever lost a home opener. And I think that they started doing it, was it FIFA started doing it in, was it 2006 or something, where they said, okay, the home nation will play the first match. And this is the first time that a home nation actually lost its opening match.
What was tougher to watch? Was it the match or the opening ceremony?
First pub team to also lose the first match.
Do you think our local pub team would beat them?
Well, they played some Irish.
What, if you had a couple of weeks to train, you know, get them fit, give them a month or two, right?
They played some Irish team, right? Not long ago, a low division team, and the Irish team won.
Well, this is interesting, fellas, because Sharm's on the Footy Prime account asked for some questions, and this is right. I'm going to throw this in. Ryan at BMBRman85 says, this being the opening match immediately brings me to thinking, a 48-team tournament, every second match will be this bad to watch. It's not a question, but will it be this bad to watch 48 game, like 48 teams?
He's got a point.
He does, doesn't he? Yeah. Like, this was game, I mean, that first goal by Ecuador, they were running circles around Qatar immediately.
Yeah.
Well, 2 minutes in, right, they scored a goal. Yeah. Now, it was ruled off for VAR, for an offside, which I don't quite understand. I mean, maybe it was, but that's not what VAR is about.
He was off by a flea's ball hair.
Yeah.
He was off. Frank's, because there was only one
ball hair.
I think people forget as well that you've got to have two defenders that are back, right, behind the ball. And
nobody ever counts the goalkeeper because there was only the goalkeeper.
Everybody forgets the goalkeeper is part of that two-man that has to be right. Right, and that's why a lot of the times too, when you see a center back trying to step up, and a player gets in behind, he's offside, forgetting that the goalkeeper is also a defender. So in that situation, funny, there was one guy on the line, and he's behind everybody, so he's technically offside.
Jimmy, that was the other question on Twitter that someone threw down: what's offside? Oh, he just described it.
Yeah.
Well, it'll frustrate people that have never, you know, been involved in football watching it too, I would think, because it frustrates us too. So we'll also say that, right? But
yeah,
these,
well, it allowed the conspiracy.
These are incredibly close calls, and sometimes it takes.
It allowed the conspiracy theorists to come out.
It started right away, didn't it?
Yeah. It's fixed. Is it mine or is that Craig's internet right now?
I don't know. I think it's mine.
Oh, is it? Probably.
One, two, three, four.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Yeah, it's yours, Craig.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, going back, Sharms, quickly, when you talked about, well, my internet hopefully works a little bit delayed, but Qatar is using, you know, their own players as such and not hunting around. In 1950, the population of Qatar was under 25,000 people. So you're not talking about, like, most countries like Morocco. A lot of their players are born outside, the mass majority of them born outside. They're, you know, the immigration in Europe to other countries, so they benefited from that. It's not like Qatari has got any the generational people that have moved away from there. You know what I mean?
You mean there's not a little Qatar in Toronto?
But think of that, 24,000
people. It's tiny, isn't it? It really is tiny. Well, that's one of the reasons why it shouldn't have had it in the first place. I understand you want to grow the World Cup.
Well, they wouldn't have got it in 1950.
Well, it depends who's running FIFA by that point, right?
Well, they didn't know they had an oil field there. That changed everything.
Yeah, exactly. The old natural gas changed things up. Oh, Linfield is a team, by the way. They played, when was it? Back in June, Qatar played Northern Irish champions Linfield in a friendly. And Linfield won 2-1.
That's a wow.
Mm.
There you go.
Or maybe we should be giving Ecuador some credit, though. Hey, Jimmy, Ecuador actually, I mean, you're playing a bad team. It's not always easy to play bad teams, is it, in some ways? But, I mean, they look decent.
Sharms, look, I think, you know, sometimes people don't realize as well, when you're playing against a lower team like that, it's easy to drop your standard, and you end up playing on the same level as them. And I thought Ecuador didn't allow that today. I thought, you know, they were very much on the front foot. I thought they were very organized, closed down well, created great opportunities. They didn't allow themselves to drop that standard. And I think you see that an awful lot of times when you're playing against teams that are a little bit disorganized and really not up to standard, as some teams do find it difficult. And at the end of the day, look, it's your first match, first game of the World Cup, and you don't care how you get it, but you want those 3 points and you want to win the match. And I thought Ecuador did it quite comfortably today.
And now they got their easiest game out of the way.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. The warm up for them. It's actually a good starting game.
But like Ryan on Twitter said, he said, you know, man, get used to these kind of games because 48 teams in 4 years' time. Watch out. Watch out.
This is true.
Sorry, fellas. Was that unwatchable? I know we watched it, but if this was not a World Cup game, this was not a World Cup game, and you were shifting through some, you know, you were doing a Brendan Dunlop and trying to find a footy game on TV, would you watch this game? That's more of my question, because that's where your 48 games come in, if there's wall-to-wall soccer.
Yeah, that's a lot of football next time. Jesus.
Not if it wasn't the World Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not if it wasn't
the interesting thing about, you know, we talked about this before, but for a lot of listeners maybe that are just listening because of the World Cup and that, is that you can put 48 club teams, best club teams in the world, quite easily and have a really good tournament. Internationally, it's not that deep, right? And Qatar's a good example. Goalkeeper's not great, but what do? You look around for another one. You can't go buy one like a club can.
Yeah.
You know, you buy the best of everything. That's why the Premier League and all the, you know, five leagues in Europe and such and such, they can afford the best players, and Brazilians are all playing over there and whatnot. So yeah, it's incredibly watered down, and it will affect the standard by a long way, but it'll also make FIFA a lot more money. And also that's the fact, but there's also the fact that it's going to give a lot of countries, even in CONCACAF, you think of the Caribbean islands, the small ones that never had a chance before, will have a dream that they can actually get there, because there might be as many as 10 CONCACAF teams there.
Yeah. Do you know, when you look at it as well and you think, okay, when you have 24 teams there, you appreciate it so much because the grind and how hard it is to get there, and you really do have the best number of teams in the world playing. But now if you're going to go up to, what is it, 48? Like, you're going to get teams that just have no business being at a World Cup. Yeah, sure, it's great for the rest of the world because then they can participate and they've got somebody to cheer for and you know, more revenue and dollars and sponsorships from all these countries that are coming into play, but it becomes watered down and you just feel like the prestige is gone a little bit, and you've got to wait 2 weeks before they get down to the final 16 before you really start to enjoy the football and how competitive it is.
I'm wondering, fellas, you know how at Wimbledon, US Open, at the Grand Slams, they have that week of qualifying? I'm wondering if that could be a way to narrow down some of these teams, like the 33rd to the 48th. And that gets, you know, that first week, it's a knockout.
You're talking about it from a sporting point of view.
Oh, I am.
That's the problem.
Sorry. They want games.
Sporting or
sorry, I can't believe that I'm thinking this as a
sporting. Well, these are going to be groups of three teams, right? Think about this. Groups of three teams. Imagine that last game in so many of these groups.
Oh, my God.
And the collusion.
Yeah.
It's going to be a farce. Yes, JC?
So are you saying that three teams are going to play at the same, like play each other?
Yeah, at the same time? Yeah, like the groups now, but there'll be three team groups, not four.
No. Oh, so they're not playing three teams on the same pitch.
Three goalposts.
At the same time.
Oh, you're thinking, are the three teams on the pitch at the same time?
Yeah, you said groups of three. I thought you meant they'd play, because that'd be cool. I'd watch that.
So where were the teams?
I know, I saw your eyes light up. There was
would you put an extra set of goals in, like on the sides of the field?
Oh, for sure. You have like this one. It's like a triangle. And then I guess if you get it, you can score on the other two. But, you know, you can't. But maybe, I don't know. But that's what I thought you meant. So
that makes sense. I think we should reinvent the game because it's just not working right now.
It's like the XFL, you know, kind of. But
only
I've done well.
Yeah, did great. He hate me.
Jimmy, remember the training sessions when they used to have like four goals? But you'd have two teams, but you'd have four goals in each corner of the pitch, or different size pitches too, right? But man, that was fun.
We have the opening of the FIFA World Cup, and it took us all 12 minutes to get into Footy Prime mode.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, I know the two teams playing each other on these rectangle fields is kind of done, right? So maybe it's time to evolve, right? If you don't keep moving, you're dead, right? So I think maybe by 2030, we can have these triangular pitches.
Yeah, because the game isn't quite big enough, is it? You know,
like, no. No. It doesn't work. We saw that today.
It's not successful at all.
Yeah. I'm sure they can adjust all the stadiums as well to go from rectangle to triangle.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's a great idea, JC. That's why you're on the
really
show.
Good idea,
now and again, you poke us and you ask questions that otherwise we wouldn't ask. And that's important.
They're the questions that need to be asked.
They are. Yeah. They are, absolutely.
Necessary.
The offside, I would say, for people that are just getting into the game, if they know hockey well, in Canada, it's a moving blue line. Mm. Basically, the blue line would run with the last defender or second last defender, technically, but we'll leave the goalkeeper alone. So that's what it is. It just moves up and down. So you just can't be
smart, exactly Craig Forrest.
Yeah.
So that last today, the confusion was that last defender doesn't count.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Mm. Thanks. See, it's easy.
Very good, Craig. I like that one.
Yeah. The moving blue line. Good,
that's good. That's, I like it.
So what's icing?
Maybe that's what they'll start doing now. Like the old hockey puck on Fox. Remember the old
glowing puck? Yeah.
Yeah, the glowing puck. It lasted. Everybody hated that. Maybe they'll just have a blue line that runs up.
Not everybody, Craig. I loved it.
Yeah. I did too. Slap shot. Yeah.
Did you enjoy Gianni Infantino's speech yesterday? Did you watch it? Anyone?
I did.
Basically,
see it,
defending Qatar to the hilt.
Well, Dan is the most interesting guy I've ever talked about. When you talk about well-rounded and people, honestly, he's brilliant. And not just because he's here, Wonger, but
Dan who?
Yeah,
Dan Wong. It's amazing.
Are Dan Wong?
This everything's not. We see things sort of black and white, and everything's not that way. You know, there's good, there's bad, there's, you know, we can look at everybody, but the U.S., you know, in 4 years' time, Canada, we all have something they could point a finger at, and so. There is some truth to that. And Europe and colonialism, okay, we know all that, right? That's true. But I think also at the same time, it's like we're not talking about that at the moment. What we're talking about is this. And 4 years ago, we talked about it as well, the way the gays people were treated in Russia and blah, blah, blah. But there's also eight other countries, I think, or eight total, I think, that is forbidden to be gay in those countries at the World Cup, not just Qatar. So what are we talking about here? Like, it's, we can all throw stones, but not when we live in glass houses, and we have to be careful of that, because I think everything I'm wearing is from China. And why is that? Because we can pay cheaper prices because
small hands, smaller hands, faster,
and they're exploiting,
faster,
right?
Faster.
But you're right though. We're all hypocrites. We are
to a certain degree.
So what's the solution then? Just don't play soccer. Don't have World Cups, or find some neutral ground in the ocean, a floating pitch, a floating triangular pitch?
No, maybe. I mean, I think if for some other reason too, I mean, look what's happening in Qatar. A lot of this is happening in other countries too. It's not just there, right? So, but what has brought the spotlight to it? It's football. It's not the human watchers groups. It's football that has brought the lights to it. So the game put under a lot of pressure to solve human problems and world problems, and that's really unfair as well, I think, on FIFA. So everybody's going to slam FIFA, and I think the president there for years to come, until the whole mood changes and the whole, you know, thing has changed at the top. And I think it has, and it is changing, but until it does, you're always going to have things like that. They're just going to, you'll never be able to say the right thing,
and it doesn't help either when the president looks just like the guy from Team America.
Fuck yeah.
He's not the guy in the sex scene.
Gary. Suck my cock.
Is that Captain America or something?
Yeah, that's Team America.
Oh, Team America. Is that different?
It's very different. You have to see it, Craig. It's one of the greatest cinematic.
Well, you should see the sex scene I'm talking about. It's unbelievable.
No, the puppets, right? The Team America. Yeah.
It just got better and better.
And he lays a deuce. She lays a deuce in his chest.
Really did.
It is good.
It's incredible.
Jimmy hasn't seen it, obviously, because you'd be laughing.
Jimmy would love it. You haven't seen it, Jimmy? You must have seen it.
Puppet Cleveland Steamer. Jimmy,
honestly. I'm
Cleveland Steamer.
No.
I'm not one for puppets either.
But
I'll send it to you.
You well, you are because you're watching it. So you are one for it.
That's a one. Muppet. He's a Muppet, not a puppet.
Muppet.
It's more from the.
But yeah, and listen, you're right though, Craig. You are right. FIFA will always be criticized, and there's nothing he can say, right? They've kind of dug their own grave. And wherever they put it, every country's got its story and it's got a dubious past or present. It just happens that Qatar right now has an extremely dubious present on certain issues, right? But you got to play the game somewhere, I suppose. But I don't know. It's all well beyond my IQ to make any sense of it all.
I'm glad we got it started because now we can talk about, you know, football, and it's going to be heavy, boys. I tell you what, we're going to start kicking off. This is the shortest World Cup since 1978.
You're like a wealth of information today. He's like, he has spent the entire game now researching.
I got nothing.
Give him the internet and look what happens.
Yeah.
I got nothing. It's good.
That's what he said earlier. I got nothing to do and I'm just doing all these stats. He called me earlier. This guy told me so many stats, my head was exploding.
Oh, yeah. I've got, you know, Canada's the 12th biggest country by population at the World Cup.
Yeah.
12th. Hey. 12th. That's not very interesting, though, is it? Tell them, like first or 30th, 32nd, maybe, but 12th.
Yeah, tell them the other stat about the Qatari group. Population, because I know you want to talk about that as well.
Well, we did already. You weren't listening, were you?
No.
I just
25,000?
No. When he talked, the whole group. Did you talk about the whole group?
What are you talking about?
The whole group.
When you called me earlier, you told me about the whole group and what the population was for the whole group.
Fuck, I thought you were talking about people, like as a group.
No.
The whole. Anyway.
So what is it?
Yeah. It's the smallest group in population. It's all four countries combined. It's 44.5 million people.
Fucking hell.
Deep into the internet.
Hey, the shit I was listening to earlier today, and you wonder why my fucking head was about to explode.
Hold on a minute, Jimmy.
I don't give a shit.
It's like having a date with Forrest Gump. Jesus.
Oh, he's Rain Man. It's a 281 match sticks.
Any info about tomorrow's game? So you got the Dutch up against Senegal, and we got England up against Iran, and the States, Wales. Iran's interesting. Lots of reports from that camp about divisions in the room, like significant divisions. We're not talking about, you know, tactical divisions or, you know, club divisions, like actual authorities against the people divisions. It's going to be, I think, the team to watch, and that match takes on such intrigue now beyond the football.
Yeah, it certainly does. When was the last time they played? I want to say 98, 2000. They played in France, I think, against Iran. It was a big deal. Yeah, it was, because it was Clinton was the president at the time, I think. Yeah, there was a lot more going on specifically about that around that at the time. But I feel for the players. I know in a press conference, the player they put up there, he sent condolences to all the families that have lost people in this struggle and sort of behind the people. But that might not be the case right through the dressing room, or it might be. But what do they do? You know, like, they're under incredible pressure. I mean, talking about like just a different world that we're just not capable of really fathoming here. You know, like, their families live there. They got 15,000 what in prisons or something like this. And they're talking about executions, and like, it's incredible stuff these guys are under.
Craig, you're totally right, because actionable political movement is so difficult when you're in that position, right? Mm-hmm. To take a stand, when we talked about it before, when your family is, hey, don't say anything bad because your family, you know, we don't want anything to happen to them. You know, the whole mafiosa, but it's a government.
And then on the other hand, you got countries that are coming out of, you know, problems and wars and, you know, these types of things that do really well because galvanizing the country. Croatia is a great example of that. Works differently, but you got this where you got a country split and even if they wanted, I think most of them are behind their people, but they can't really say it.
Yeah. Are the pro Brexit and the anti Brexit going to get together and cheer for the English team?
It's a big problem in the room, I think, in England.
It's like, what's going to happen here?
Yeah. You got Harry Kane on one side. And then you have, I can't think of one other England player right now off the top of my head. They're pro Brexit. So,
I don't think Brexit affects them.
Yeah.
Not so much. I think they're okay.
I wonder if Iran, though, I mean, obviously, look, it's such a difficult situation. But I wonder if they've actually had a team meeting where they all sat together and just said, look, we've got to put our political views aside here and focus on the task at hand. And, you know, this is going to be an opportunity where hopefully we can get the whole country watching. We represent this country and come together as one and put all the differences aside.
Because I think you're right. I think that that'll be absolutely the case. And Carlos Queiroz is a manager, right? I mean, he had a ton of experience at international level and in that region too. So he'll know what he's doing as far as the team, but he'll have to do the best he can. And I think there's a certain things that are just out of his hands too.
He's had enough, doesn't he? You see him storm at the press conference because questions about women's rights and safety in Iran. He just storms out, which is never a good look.
Fuck, it's so much pressure put on these guys. Okay, if they ask non-footballing questions, you just don't get
what answer do you want? What do you expect? That's one thing I've always wondered about these kind of issues. As serious as they are, what do you expect a football person to really say that it's going to make a difference? They're football people. They're not. They shouldn't be politicians. I'm not sure what their knowledge is, their expertise on geopolitical issues. Probably not great.
No. Well, I mean, the ones that do know it really well, and the coach of Kerr, Golden State Warriors.
Steve Kerr.
Steve Kerr, yeah.
He's a sport guy, but his dad was killed.
He was an ambassador.
Murdered. So when he speaks, I listen, because he's actually very well educated in it, and you can tell he's educated, and he means best for people. So there are people that use a platform in that way that are very knowledgeable, and I like it. Yeah. And I like it from that when they do. Yeah. Then you got guys like Theo Fleury that in Canada, and you're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. No, it is difficult. You can imagine what the manager's going through as well, right? He's trying to prepare for a World Cup, and he's trying to forget about everything right now and focus on what he's paid to do, and that's organize this team and get them ready. And you want football questions, and, there's probably a moment where him and the team just want to get away from everything and just focus on football, but they seem to not be able to because questions just keep coming up all the time and it takes them away from football, distracts them from football.
Right. They'd be better off doing press conferences, unfortunately, but they have to, and they have to put themselves there. And there's a big obligation from FIFA to do that. I don't know if they'd stop it at some point if they kept going, but I mean, I guess at the end of the day, they want all this, access. And
well, it's also, let's be honest. It's not, you guys keep saying it's not fair. And I the media, like, I don't know, to Sharma's point, I don't know what they're looking for an answer from a guy who's gone over to be a manager somewhere. I'm not sure if that's his place or why that's a big, I understand they have a platform at this point, but it doesn't really, it's not going to do anything.
Unless it is different, though, right? Is it different on the club level? Like Eddie Howe, for example, decides to join a club that's owned by a very controversial state, right? It's his choice. It's always been controversial. When he walked into that job, he knew it was controversial. Should he be forced to answer questions about why, as opposed to perhaps an international manager who maybe something happened or evolved since he took the job?
Yeah. But he has been asked, Charms. I mean, it's not something that he's deflected from. I mean,
I know, but should he?
Yeah.
Is that different, though, from the international manager?
Well, no, but the thing is, too, you got to look at, you guys know firsthand as well, the press is there, and they're always trying to lure you in. They're trying to get the hook in the mouth, make you say something, because then it sells, and then it's controversy, and it's, oh, look what this manager said. And before you know it, you're on the front page of the news, and they're always trying to lure you in and just entice you to say something.
We are.
Yeah. No, I mean, can you imagine
they're trying to sucker you in to say something, and then once you say something, you guys know they pounce on it. Yeah. So you could see the manager's probably getting frustrated because he's probably going, you keep asking me these questions all the time, you're just waiting for me to say something, and then all hell's going to break loose because I might say the wrong thing that some people don't agree with.
Him walking out was a big deal. That's all they needed.
Yeah.
Of course.
On good news is you see Alfonso Davies interview with our boy Duffy
for
the match today. And
just did a fun.
Fonzie saying, yeah, he's good to go. He's ready for Belgium. He's still got a week left. He was training today, as was Stakio, who was hobbled as well, apparently. Boyan was out there too. are you confident now that all is well, or do you think there's some mind games happening here as well? What's your kind of gut feel for the Canada?
My gut feeling
right
is that Herman John is probably like, Fonzie, what are you saying this for? I've got all this going on. I've got Borjan in doubt. I got Stakio in doubt. I got Fonzie in doubt. And then you go on there and you just say, I'm fine.
Unless he's not fine. Unless he's not fine. Maybe he's not fine. Maybe he's done.
Yeah, well.
It's brilliant.
He's just fine. He's had 2 weeks off. He got a niggle. Nothing wrong with him.
Yeah. Hamstrings, Jimmy. Break down some hamstrings for us. What's a hamstring niggle? And what are the concerns? What's the route back to full health? And what are where's your confidence meter with Fonzie being healthy for Wednesday?
Very, very, very good. For him to say that he's ready to go and he's playing them. Like, nobody knows your own body more than yourself, right? And he's probably had loads of hamstrings and thigh niggles. And if it's a low-grade strain, he'll know that he can get back and get fit enough in no time, which is a couple of weeks, which is great. I mean, look, obviously, if he tore it, it's a different story. He's out for 6 weeks or so, and that's a nightmare. But if he's had a low little strain, just little tweak, you know, he says he's fine. He's ready to go. And like I said, nobody knows your body better than you. So if he's saying that, because a lot of the times too, right? Like if I had an injury or a hamstring and I could still feel it, I might say, yeah, I want to play, but I'm telling my physio going, look, I can feel it a little bit. It's still bothering me a little bit. I know there's something there, but if he's coming out saying that he's fine, he's ready to play, then I'm sure he's good.
Well, that's good news. So the game's Bayern Wednesday, you know?
Would not let him go a foot outside of Germany if there was anything wrong with him. In fact, if there was a qualifying segment, he would not be there.
No. And you know he's had the x-rays and everything, and they've gone right.
They don't x-ray, they scan. X-ray doesn't show anything in it, but.
Well, the scan, you know what I mean?
I know
he's done a scan to make sure that he's all right.
This might sound a little fetishist, but I want to see a picture of Jimmy Brennan's toenails versus Alphonso Davies' toenails. I want to see how far 21, 22-year-old's good-looking toenails look like to our 40-something-year-old former Nottingham Forest.
I would tell you I would never be a foot model, that's for sure.
At what point, did you take your socks off and went, holy shit, they're just horrible? I mean, at 21, I'm sure they were fine.
No, they weren't.
31, they weren't even then?
No, even back then, man, their nails were falling off and all beat up. I remember when you're young, you go to the beach and you're just digging your feet under the sand to bury them so nobody can stare at them.
Well, how about that?
It would get that deep. It looked like I had no feet, just ankles.
Jimmy had Howard Hughes toenails all curled up.
Oh yeah. How about we went on that boat cruise and the captain says, can I just ask everybody to take their shoes off? Jimmy's like, he's looking at me like, I don't know.
I don't want to do this.
I don't know if they want to see my toes.
I really don't want to take them off right here, guys. You know it's bad even when a chiropodist is coming in before training, cut everybody's nails, and he's just looking around the dressing room going, guys, your feet are disgusting.
And I think that's it's important that the audience understand where we stand on toes as a podcast. We welcome all sorts of toes. Jimmy is welcome in our podcast, right?
We're inclusive.
We're very inclusive. Other pods aren't inclusive, don't allow it. And I think you've got to stand up and make a point. So, Jimmy, we don't care about your feet. You're always welcome.
Thank you, guys. I want everybody to understand, like, all the toes are there. Okay, there's five on the left, there's five on the right. Just the nails are a little bit beat up from my career, which was my tools.
And now bacteria has set in.
Do you have fungus? Do you have toe fungus?
Has to be. They're all mangled. Hey, Eddie,
they're just beat up. I used to wear tight boots, right? So the nails would come off all the time, or some. You get a player standing on your feet. We used to have needles as well, right? That you just stick them in through your toenails to take all the blood out and the pressure. Remember that? You used to light the needle.
Tell you guys a story about that.
You light the needle.
They would stick a needle down the nail of it. And this guy, Neil Thompson, was in the bath in the shower. His nail was black and it was hurting like hell. He stuck it sort of between the toe and the nail and he got it right in there and he squeezed it. And this black shit came out and hit the fucking ceiling.
Yeah.
Like pressurized.
That's the pressure.
Oh.
It was disgusting, but he was like, oh.
What was that?
That feels lovely.
I don't get grossed out that often, but this is like on the cusp, fellas.
I'm telling you, the relief is unbelievable.
Like straight away, like the
right
the,
away,
the initial,
yeah, all the
it's
blood,
worth the initial pain.
All the blood just comes right out, and it's like, oh,
like a gusset, a fountain of blood.
Yeah, just oozes out.
Ugh.
But the worst thing is, because if you go too deep, then you hit the nail bed with the needle, and that hurts like hell. You're like a cat in a hot tin roof. You are bouncing everywhere.
See, these are the stories we don't hear about, right? You know, you see footballers' lives, these glamorous lives, making good money playing a game, you know, and they've got the pretty girls, the fast cars, everything's there. We don't hear these stories, the truth. We need these more often. Can you see this? I've got like a nail thing going on, this nail. It's like a groove. See that?
Yeah.
See? What is that?
Is that your lunch under your fingernail? What is it?
It's a long nail, actually.
Well, it might be a quick. But, you got to push your quicks back.
What is it though? Like, is it a sign of like an, I don't know, I've got deficiencies in something?
What, did you hurt
like
that finger in any
sting?
Did you, if you hurt the finger, was it ever black?
No, it's never black. And it just started, it's, as it's growing, the nail's growing, that's getting longer. It started off a little dent right where it meets the cuticle.
Yeah.
And now as it's growing, it's like taking over the whole nail. Am I dying is what I'm asking.
That's nothing wrong with that though.
You can, nothing, we're all dying, Charms. We're all dying.
Okay. It's
well, that's good.
I know Jimmy's toes are priceless.
Okay. Good. Good. All right, boys and girls. As I mentioned, Canada's playing on Wednesday. Wonga, Footy Prime is representing.
We are. Wednesday.
At least some of us are anyway.
Well, we'll see if you we'll see you in the crowd if you can't actually sit on the stage. We're gonna be at the Rec Room in downtown Toronto at a pre-match launch. We're gonna be doing a pod from 1 until 2 at the Rec Room. Visit hashtag 90 minutes stat holiday. Or 90minutes.ca. You'll see Craig Forrest. You'll see Jimmy Brennan. You'll see Jeff Cole. And you'll see Wonger. We're all going to be there. And we're going to have a blast. I've got some pictures. I'm going to do a little video display for the guys. We'll be uncovering all kind of our dark undersides for this show.
Can I ask a question? Because I know it's for a lot of people out there. They don't know if they can watch the game. And this is a big factor. So, we, you know... People are trying to find out where are we going to watch the game. Like
we are. I'm not going to answer this.
I know we're trying to word this properly for everybody because we've had a knock on the door.
We don't want to get in trouble, but we're going to be there at the pre-launch, the pre-match, and then we're going to watch the game somewhere. So if we're at the Rec Room, we will watch the game somewhere around there.
It sounds like a 90-minute stat holiday.
It really is a 90-minute stat holiday. That's what we're going to be doing.
Now, if the audience ask, I'm sure there'll be a Q&A session, right? Will Jimmy show his feet if they ask to see his feet?
Oh, come on. No, why? What, you want to throw people off for lunch, man? Like,
there might be some weird people there with like this foot fetish and want to see like gnarly feet. And
Carey Ryan, Dave Starkey might want to see these feet.
No.
No, you're not going to show them? Only your boat riding friends. That's all. That's it.
It might be an airborne disease.
You guys are just stupid.
But Wonga, where do we find out more information? 90minutes.ca?
Yeah, 90minutes.ca. And let's make sure we had a couple of winners. Were guys showing us their bets on North Star Bets because, you know, Ecuador, we also are going to do a poll every day. Craig has to jump, but we're going to be doing a poll every day on Footy Prime. So check it out, play it out. It's funny. Most people picked Ecuador to win. Most people chose Ecuador to win. It was like ask the audience. 75% chose Ecuador. So everyone picked the right team today. Cool. It'll be interesting tomorrow.
Craig's left for another interview. I hope they enjoy his internet as much as we did.
Yeah.
And don't forget, listen, while the World Cup continues, Fubo. TV.com/footyprime support us. Basically, it's
the most important thing. Great content.
It's great exclusive content throughout the World Cup as well. You can find One Soccer there. Daily content. It's just going to be a celebration of football this month. So get it. It's going to say something terrible there, but I'm not going to. Okay. Even for Footy Prime, that would have been taking it too far. I'll tell you guys off camera. All right, so that's about it then, Jimmy. Are you in Sportsnet tomorrow? With me?
Yes, I am, Charles.
Right,
yes,
Jimmy,
I am, buddy.
Fun.
Looking forward to it again.
And don't forget, shamansproper.ca. You want some pies for your viewing pleasure?
Until
shamansproper.ca.
Until Canada is out.
Yeah, until Canada crashes out. Probably December 20th, around there.
Yep.
Promo code Footy Prime. One checkout and orders over $60. And had some people in the store actually yesterday who had heard it on the podcast. So it's working.
That's great. You bringing some tomorrow?
No, Jimmy. I'm not.
Perfect.
Well, check out, fellas, where are you guys going to be? I want to promote you guys too. You're going to be at Sportsnet. And where else, Jimmy? I know you're hitting some other broadcasters.
I'm doing CBC as well.
Amazing. So we're going to be
Canadian games.
Awesome. So think of it this way, everyone listening. Match days equals pod drop. We are endeavoring to make sure you have a pod every single day of match day during FIFA Qatar 22 World Cup.
And those early games, there's some pretty bad ones, right? 5 a.m. So you may as well just listen to us.
Yep.
You know, while watching those. You may as well, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, everyone. That's Footy Prime, the podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. Like Wonga said, we'll be back tomorrow with three games to talk about. Ooh, interesting. Ooh. See you then, everyone. Keep buying newspapers. Bye.
Follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeIG.
What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime, the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.